All right. Great to be with everybody. Those manifestations sure are wonderful, aren't they? All right. So we're going to be starting out in Psalms tonight, if you want to turn there, Psalm number 46. So it has been theorized that the average person encounters four different types of problems on a daily basis. Now, some may beg to differ on that, but that's just what's the current theory, is that we have four different types, and basically they're categorized. We have what's called a simple problem, which speaks for itself, something very easily resolved. Then we have what is called a complicated problem. It's not so easily solved, but we know what the source of the problem is. And then we have what's called a complex problem. This is where we're not sure how to identify the actual source of where the problem is coming from. And then last but not least, we have what are called chaotic problems. And this is a situation of chaos, such as a natural disaster, like an earthquake or a hurricane, or perhaps a riot. But either way, each day in our everyday lives, we face challenges, we face problems. And the question is how do we respond when we face challenges that threaten our well-being? Many times, it's a common reaction that we look to ourselves to solve our issues, and a lot of times that leads to failure. When we look to God and His Word, He gives us direction on how to deal with problems that we are confronted with. So let's go to Psalm 46. And there's a very well-known verse, Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, when we read this verse, it's easy to think that what this is saying is that we should quietly meditate or go find a quiet spot in nature and get quiet inside. But that's not what the verse is saying. The context of Psalm 46 is basically about war and fighting and how God is our refuge. So the term be still is the Hebrew word rafa, and that means to let go, to release. Basically, it means to surrender. God did not design man to figure out his life, his problems, and challenges on his own. And he's given us tremendous direction in his word on how to deal with challenges when they hit us. And one of the great aspects of God's word is it allows us to see examples of people's lives that we can actually relate to in the here and now. So I want to look at the reaction of a great prophet in the Old Testament named Elijah. He was one of the greatest Old Testament prophets to ever live. In fact, he actually had, with God's help, had it stop raining for 3 years. And that's pretty powerful. That's walking in the power of God. As human beings, God has given us emotions. And many times when we face issues that come our way, our emotions can get worked up, and we can respond in ways in such that we're trying to solve the problems without God's direction. So let's take a look at a problem that this prophet faced and how he and God dealt with it together. So before we do, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And where we're going to go is we're going to the book of 1 Kings. We're going to go to chapter 19 in 1 Kings. So back in the time of the kings, Israel had a real bad habit of being tricked into serving false idols. In chapter 18, Israel was tricked into following a false god called Baal. And at the time, the king of Israel, his name was Ahab, and he was a pretty bad guy. He married the most wicked woman in all of history. Her name is Jezebel. I know we're all familiar with that name. But she provoked him to do anything and everything that went against God's word. And he provoked Israel to serve this statue, this false idol, false god, called Baal. And what Jezebel did was she had all the remaining prophets of God, the true prophets of the true God, she had them killed. And so what ends up happening is Elijah decides to have this gathering where he calls Israel and says, bring all the prophets of Baal, which is 450. And what he said is he said, we're going to put a sacrifice on the altar, and we're going to call on Baal, and then we're going to call on God. And whichever God sends a stream of fire down from heaven, that will be the proof of who really is God. So they go about this, and obviously what ends up happening is God is the one that sends the fire down, and he scoops up the sacrifice. And then Elijah tells Israel, says, don't let these false prophets escape. Kill them. And there was 450 of them. And so when Israel saw that God was really God and they believed Elijah, that's what they did. They killed these false prophets. Well, now what we do is we pick it up in 1 Kings 19, and we're going to see what happens from this point forward. So we're going to look at verse 1 here, and it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So he's telling his wicked wife. In just a little bit more background, she pretty much wore the pants. So anything that she told Ahab to do, he'd just do it. Okay, verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So basically, she gives him a death threat. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. So he got this threat, and his reaction, now keep in mind, he saw this tremendous miracle in the previous chapter, but his reaction was that he just fled. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. So how many times have we seen situations where people, they just have everything pile up at one time, and then there's that one thing. You know, they say the cliche, oh, the straw that broke the camel's back. And so this threat that he got, it pretty much caused him to snap. And sometimes when things like that happen and we get emotional and react, it's a very natural reaction. But the question is you know, why did he snap that far? Was that really the issue, the death threat, or was there more going on in his heart? And see, God knows what goes on in our hearts when we're facing problems and issues, and he wants us to come to him. Let's go to verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So even when we can get out in left field a little bit mentally, and our minds can get unrenewed, and we're facing these challenges, and we're trying to handle it ourselves, and we might have these emotional reactions, that's a perfect example of what we just read, how God still takes care of us. God still took care of this great man, even though he was so distraught and he was kind of just running in his own direction. God still took the time to take care of him, to provide for him, to bless him. And that's a great example of how even when we don't necessarily look to God, God is still behind the scenes taking care of our lives. Just a tremendous example. Okay, verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. So basically, at this point, he went to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, and he decided basically to become a caveman. It says that he lodged there in the cave. And he just, you know, it's sort of like sometimes when we face issues, we can run and, you know, hide into our own little caves. But look what happens. Look what God does. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Now, God knew what he was doing there. He knew everything that was going on in his heart. But he wanted to hear it from Elijah and then work with him from that point forward. So verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now here was the real problem. So it wasn't so much the death threat, it was that he basically thought he was the only one left that was serving God, and that there was nobody left to serve the Lord, that everybody had forsaken him, and that was pretty much it. And it just caused him to snap. So bottom line is that he made the problem, what we're going to see here, a little bigger than actually what it was. And he was overthinking a little bit. I think we can all be guilty of that at times, right? But let's see how God works with him. Now watch this. Verse 11. We're in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Now, that's a pretty strong wind. That's got to be definitely in the category of a hurricane-type wind for it to break the rocks. But look what it says. It says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Okay, an earthquake can pretty much shake anybody up, literally, right? But the Lord was not in the earthquake. In verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now, these would all be considered in the category of the problems we described in the beginning. This would be category 4, the chaotic problem. This is the worst problem we can face because we have absolutely no control. Now, at the very end of verse 12, after the fire, it says, and after the fire, a still small voice. Now, some translations translate this as a still small wind. Either way, it's something very gentle and quiet. And what happens here is that God does something with Elijah to remind him of something. And what it is that God clearly points out that he's not in the wind, he's not in the earthquake, and he's not in the fire. Why is he saying this? Because the earthquake, the wind, and the fire are the problems. And these are pretty significant problems. And what God is reminding him is, Elijah, don't look at the problems. Look at me. God was showing Elijah, essentially, not to keep his eyes on the issues, but to keep his eyes on God Almighty. Let's go to verse 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, the small still voice, or the wind, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, God was asking him the same question. But what changed? What changed in Elijah was that he now surrendered. So going back to Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God, means that we surrender. When we face these challenges, we don't have to try to fight and strive and figure these things out on our own. We can go to our Heavenly Father for the answers. It says in James that if anyone lacks wisdom in any situation, that we can ask of God, and God will grant it to us. And we have the Holy Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. We can go to the throne of grace for help in the time of need because of what Jesus Christ did. In fact, we have more access now as born-again believers than even Elijah had. Think about that. The key is surrender. We don't need to figure it out on our own. Verse 14. Now, Elijah's response is the same. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The difference now, though, is that he's a little more settled, and he's not so worked up, and he's got his mind renewed again, basically. Verse 15, now here it is. God's going to give him the direction. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Verse 16, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now look at that, verse 18. 7,000. There was 7,000 left that did not serve these false gods. Now remember, Elijah thought that he was the only one left. See, so many times we can make situations worse than they are, or we can overthink things, and we don't have the answers. We can build things up in our mind that don't exist. And that's why God gave us the Comforter. He gave us the Holy Spirit. What does he call the Holy Spirit? The Helper. We don't have to figure out things on our own. We can go to God because he knows what's going on. He knows the scoop, and he knows what needs to be done to deal with any issue or challenge that comes our way in life. And think about it, with all that's gone on this past year and a half, I mean, I can honestly say for my own life and many other believers that I know, how God has just been right there to take care of us and provide and to be our loving Father, even though we've got basically chaos going around us with the virus and, you know, all the other garbage that goes on in this world. I mean, we're so blessed to have such a wonderful Heavenly Father. So let's close in Matthew chapter 11, another well-known verse for all of us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." In the manifestations, God told us to be at peace. He wants us to have that rest. He gave us rest from the hardest thing possible for the human race, and that is the ability to have everlasting life and eternal righteousness through Jesus Christ, to have that salvation. He gave us rest from having to try to earn our righteousness. And how much more is he going to give us rest from the situations that we face now in everyday life? Amen? So I like to give homework to everyone. And my recommendation, my homework for this week is the minute you're faced with a problem of any of the four categories, which we will face. It's a given. Surrender. Speak in tongues, go to the Father, don't try to figure it out on your own. Let's go to the Father and know that he's right there for us all the time. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for your tremendous word, for how you're there when we need you most, but also how you're there even when we don't always realize it. And just how we have such great access to you through your Son, and how we can have great fellowship with you. And just thank you for being our daddy. And we love you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.